CardMech Life and MediCall podcast are proud to be sponsored by ManaTraders.com, the best subscription rental service on the web. Use the promo code ModernMediCall, all one word, no hyphens, at checkout for 14% off your subscription at purchase for 3 months. Again, that's ModernMediCall, all one word, at ManaTraders.com. Hello and welcome to MediCall episode 195. I'm Corey. Here's Daryl.
Yo.
I tried to time it out so that we could say it at the same time and then you could owe me a soda, but I think I was a little late on it.
I'm going to change up the timing now every time.
Jinx, you owe me a
soda. Just to mess with you.
We are, you know, so we took last week off and I was thinking the set was still being spoiled, M21 that is, Core 21. And if we waited a week, we'd have the entire set spoiled so that we could do our picks game. Here we are. The entire set is spoiled. But would you believe that in that amount of time, another entire set has been spoiled?
No.
Because all of Jumpstart is also spoiled now since Monday of last week.
Damn.
So we're not going to talk about Jumpstart because it doesn't really apply to Modern or Pioneer for that matter, but we are going to do our picks for Core 21. There's a lot in the set, and I think that WotC has taken an interesting approach to reprinting cards into Pioneer with the core sets now. We're seeing a lot of that in this one, so that's kind of a cool new look at the core set dynamic. But then we also got to look back at what we thought about Ikoria. We made a lot of picks in Ikoria. I'd have to say, Daryl, we were pretty inaccurate with this one.
Were we terrible?
I don't think we were terrible, but let's just say, like, okay, so for Theros Beyond Death, you won with 89 points. The winning score of Ikoria was 52 points.
Well, based on the way you said that means I didn't win.
I didn't say it. Why would you think that means you didn't win?
Because of the way you said it.
What? No, that I did not imply that at all. We'll find out who won. We'll go through the scores. We'll find out who won. But I don't think that was I don't know why you'd think that.
Okay.
All right. Anyways, well, if you're just joining us for the first time here on MediCall, we do a picks game. We've been doing this for years, and this is now going to be our third round in season two because we kind of lost track of who was winning the first season, or by how much I was definitely winning.
It was 40 by mile.
But Daryl is now up 1-0 after Theros Beyond Death. We're going to find out after Ikoria who's winning. But the way it works is you get 2 points for correctly identifying a card that you expect to see play in Modern or Pioneer. You get 2 points for each format. If you pick a format for the card and it doesn't show up, you lose a point as a penalty point. If you pick a card and shows up in like one, two, or like maybe just three decks, it's worth like 0 or 1 points depending on like if it actually is around. So basically just to kind of nullify or neutralize that pick without a penalty if it's actually there but really not appearing in the format. So here's what we did. We went down the list. We put our letters down. We're going to start M21 today and we'll go through for the next couple weeks. By that time, it usually goes like this. We'll already have results out. But we're going to continue picking as if we didn't know what those results are. It's just kind of how this game works because information travels very quickly with Magic Online, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But with Ikoria, we started with white and we looked at Drannith Magistrate, which is the human that says that you can't play companions. But you also can't play shit from the graveyard, right? Stuff can't enter from anywhere but the hand, basically.
Spells can't be cast from anywhere but the hand.
And I picked that one for Modern, and I got 2 points for that because that did show up in Humans. Daryl did not pick that one. So I'm off to a lead already. Woo! All right, we both picked Lava Brink Adventurer in Modern and Pioneer. It did show up in Modern, sideboard of Humans, not in Pioneer, which I'm kind of surprised about, actually. How about you?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we both were because we picked it, but yeah. Luminous Broodmoth, Modern and Pioneer, we both picked it. Not a single one. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I cannot actually. But I guess just like the format is just too fast for fair creature combo decks now.
I mean, the format is very value based though, with like all the Lurrus shenanigans going on. So I'm surprised. But I guess
can't play that card in a Lurrus deck.
Yeah, that is a factor. So maybe with the Luris change, like slowing things down, I think the value will be shifted a little bit. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't fit the scheme of Collective Company very well, and it's a little steep for like Court of Calling. So if you're like a toolbox deck, like four mana is a big ask. You can only include so many of those types of creatures, and you know you got to really pick carefully.
Yep.
All right, in blue, I picked Ominous Sea in Modern. That did not show up. That's the cycling octopus 8/8 generator thing. I don't know what we were thinking about this one. Pouncing Shore Shark? That's the uncommon that mutates and turns into like a little man of war dude. We picked that for Pioneer. It did not show up. Daryl picked Sea Dasher Octopus in Pioneer. I gave you a point for that one because it showed up in like a couple of decks, but nothing consistent. It was like two or three.
Was that the Ophidian?
Yes. Yep.
Ah!
Yeah. Genius. Yeah, I really do like that card. I think that one's going to be like long term. It's going to appear in Pioneer for a long time. It's not going to be like a staple of the format, but it's going to be a staple of like any like kind of janky blue tempo deck.
Yeah.
That appears. Shark Typhoon. I picked Shark Typhoon in Pioneer. I obviously got that one. That one's showing up tons in Pioneer control decks.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, but I guess it does beat Teferi, so...
Yeah, card's really good.
Yeah.
Voracious Great Shark. Not a single one. We picked it for Pioneer. We both lost a point. Black. Daryl, you picked Call of the Death Dweller in Pioneer, and that one is showing up in Abzan Rally.
Yeah.
Among others, but lots of them in Abzan Rally. We both picked Easy Prey in Pioneer. That one's showing up quite a bit in Pioneer. Extinction Event, you picked for Modern and Pioneer. I picked for Pioneer. That one, I think we both identified for Niv because of the fact that it's got a single black symbol in its cost, which makes it easier to cast for those decks and castable alongside Jangantha. Mm-hmm. And that was correct. It does show up in Niv, but it's also in Sultai Delirium. There were some kind of random Modern decks that played it, so I gave you a point, but you didn't get the full two. It's not a player in the format, really. Same is true with Heartless Act. We both picked for Modern and Pioneer. There's some kind of random Modern decks, but it definitely is showing up in Pioneer. Haunted Nightmare. Nope. Nothing. We picked it for Pioneer. We both lost a point. Mythos of Nithroi, big sideboard piece, big Abzan removal piece for Pioneer. 2 points for us.
Yeah.
We picked Blitz of the Thunder Raptor for Modern. You picked it for Pioneer as well. We were wrong. I'm a little surprised about this, but I guess we have just better choices in that slot.
I guess it feels better than like Roast or whatever other. I just can't think of something that's better.
Yeah. You know what? I typed that wrong. I picked it in Pioneer and not Modern because I remember I screwed this up earlier today, but I remember. So we were comparing it to what's the Delve one? The 6-mana Delve one
in Magmatic Modern? Sinkhole.
Yeah. So we were comparing it to Magmatic Sinkhole, and I remember talking myself out of it because of Magmatic Sinkhole in Modern. And so I think that's kind of the thing is like, yeah, it's definitely better than Roast, but Sinkhole being an instant is like, you know, that would be the reason to play this card. It's an instant, but Sinkhole does a better job, I think. Flame Spill is when I picked for Pioneer. I was wrong. I don't know. That was dumb. Footfall Crater. I'm still pretty high on this card. This is the enchantment that gives a creature haste and trample and can cycle for one red. I picked it for Modern and Pioneer. While it does not show up in Pioneer, it's in a ton of Luris Jund decks in Modern. So that's that net minus 1 points. Or wait a second. That should be positive one. So 2 for showing up in Modern, minus 1 for Pioneer.
Yep.
Luca, Daryl picked for Pioneer. That's correct. Shows up in the Jeskai decks for sure. Daryl picked Mythos of Vedrock in Pioneer. Does not show up. Minus 1. We both picked Weaponize the Monsters. That's the sacrifice to do 2 damage enchantment. Minus 1. That does not show up. And Yadaro, surprisingly, nothing in Pioneer. Minus 1 for both of us. But it is showing up in some Modern Teemer decks.
Interesting.
Green, we picked Barrier Breach and Pioneer to deal with the Orzhov enchantments. We were right. It's worth 2 points. Seeing a ton of play. Fertilid, Daryl picked in Pioneer. Nada, minus 1. Gem Riser is seeing. Actually, I don't think that one's really seeing any play in Pioneer. I put 1 point on there.
And it doesn't particularly matter. We both picked it, so whatever
yeah, happens. Yeah, I think that's a typo. That should be a -1, but maybe it's just like kind of showed up. Koglo the Titan Ape, we both picked for Pioneer, -1. I'm surprised. That guy seems to be like all that in a bag of chips. Yeah. And he's big. I mean, 6 mana is a lot to ask, but he does so much. And so like I'm thinking when it comes to Garuda combo decks, like he's just like a good one of to have in there to just deal with a lot of problems.
Yep.
Lead the Stampede, surprisingly not showing up. That was printed into Pioneer with this set. There was like maybe one or two ofs, so that one I just gave a 0 for, like one or two decks. We both picked it. Migration Path, nothing, -1. I picked Titan off the Rex. That's the one that can cycle to give a Trample Connor. I thought that was unique enough to maybe see play in Modern for like the Living End decks, but I just don't think there were any Living End decks that placed, so nothing. But I'm not sure if those decks even are interested in this guy.
They're not.
No. Okay. Vivian saw play in Pioneer. We were both right about that. That's worth 2 points. And Wilt is kind of a slam dunk. Obviously better than Naturalize. That's just a 4 points right there for Pioneer and Modern. Gold, we picked Brokkus, Apex of Forever, which is the comes back from the graveyard mutate guy. We picked it for Pioneer, and it is seeing some play in Pioneer. Played that guy in Modern Vengevine and had a hell of a lot of fun with it. Just as a one of in this like Vengevine Stitcher Supplier deck and
the Dredgevine deck.
Super good. Yeah, Dredgevine. Yep. Chevil, Bane of Monsters, I picked for Pioneer. That guy is in this really cool Jund deck. He is seeing quite a bit of play, actually. So that's worth 2. Dire Tactics, Orzhov Humans in Pioneer. We both picked that for 2 points. Daryl picked Frondland Felidar, which is Yield Cycling Fox. And Yield Cycling Fox is not seeing play. That's -1. General Kudrow of Draenith. That's the black-white humans lord guy. He has seen play in both formats. We both picked it in both formats. We were smart. It's worth 4 points. Inspired Ultimatum, Daryl picked in Pioneer. That's the Jeskai Ultimatum, and that is seeing sideboard play in Pioneer in the Jeskai Ascendancy deck. Or what is it? Fires of Invention, excuse me, decks. Kinnan, we picked in Modern and Pioneer. It is only seeing play in Modern. In the Kinnan Uro Urza decks. Some of these gold ones surprised me a little bit because I think we were pretty high on a lot of them that are not like really showing up at all. Like Narset of the Ancient Way, I was a big proponent of. Daryl picked it in Pioneer. I picked it in Pioneer. It's showing up in Pioneer. I also picked it in Modern. It's seeing play in like a deck or two decks. I gave myself 0 points for that, but I thought it was going to make a much bigger impact in the format. So, -2 for me. Nethroi, we both picked in Pioneer, -1, -1. Regal Leosaur, this one was surprising. This is the guy that can mutate. It is a 2-mana, red-white, 2/2, dinosaur cat, uncommon. It mutates for 1 in hybrid red-white, red-white. When it mutates, other creatures you control get +2/+1 until end of turn. That we picked for both formats, and it is seeing play in neither one.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, -2. We were pretty high on that one. Same with Riel the Everwise. We picked for both formats, seeing play in neither one, -2. Skull Prophet, that's the black-green 3/1 that generates mana and can mill 2. Sees a little play in Pioneer. We both picked it for Pioneer. Gave us 0 points. I missed this one. Slither Wisp. I don't even know what that guy does.
Obviously not seeing play.
Yeah, not seeing play. I'm going to give myself -1 for that one. Snapdax, -1 for both of us. Song of Creation, seeing play a little bit in Modern. Seeing no play in Pioneer, surprisingly. That one is -1 for both of us. Sprite Dragon sees play in both formats, 4 points for both of us. Vadrak, Apex of Thunder, we both picked for Pioneer, seeing no seeing very limited play, if any. Minus one for both of us. Whirlwind of Thought, that's the one that you draw a card for each non-creature spell you play, seeing no play in either format. We both picked it in both. I was higher on that one than I guess I should have been, but I'm still surprised.
Yeah.
And last but not least, for gold is Winota. We both picked for Pioneer. We were right. That's worth 2 points. Okay, I'm going to go fast through the last ones because we've got hybrid, and it was pretty apparent what's going on with these because they're a bunch of companions. Fiend Artisan, you want to do them?
Yeah, I got you. Fiend Artisan, we picked as a pod for Pioneer. It's podding. Companions, we both picked Gigantha. It was a thing. Corey picked Kieran Pioneer. I did not. It was a thing in both formats. We both picked Karuga, and we were wrong. We both picked Lurrus, and that was obvious. I picked Obosh in Pioneer, but not Modern. Corey picked it in both. He was right. Griuta and Yorion, companions, they're great. Play companions. It got changed. Not much to say there. Artifacts, we have the Ozolith, which is the counters moving artifact, the one mana legendary artifact that if a creature leaves the battlefield with counters on it, put those in the Ozolith. To be a combat on your turn, if it has counters, you may move them. It's any counters, so Death Touch counters, Trample counters, mostly for Pulse One counters. Picked it for both formats, and it was good. And then the Tri-Land cycle out of lands, so all the Triomes we picked for both formats, and they were good.
Yeah, just kind of like as one-ofs, you know? Yep. They saw about as much play as we expected. Minimal, but effective as just a might-as-well-include-one to fetch up as necessary.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. That was a little bit nebulous. I'm sorry about that. That set was long. Long story short, long story made long. Final scores, 52-49. I won this one.
Every time.
By three. Not every time. We are 1-1 this season.
Yeah, I mean, I missed on some pretty obvious stuff, like any companion. We should have just almost buy any companion. It was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just don't know enough about Pioneer because I haven't been playing a ton of, like, super competitive Magic lately. So I kind of missed on. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's just, like, most of the competitive formats, I kind of, like, have a decent handle on one, but the other one, I just haven't played enough Pioneer to have a good handle on what's going on in that format.
Yeah, that's fair. However, we did, you know, speaking of the companions, we both picked Karuga for Pioneer, and we lost points on Karuga. Yeah. Which is a little surprising that, you know, the companions made a huge splash in competitive formats. However, that one, even with Fires of Invention being a thing, like Karuga, I'm surprised didn't show up in Pioneer. I think that's one that, you know, was the biggest stunner to me.
Yeah.
Aside from the companions out of this set, I think there are a lot of cards that initially, like, shocked us as, like, holy cow, this is going to make big, big waves, like Song of Creation and Whirlwind of Thought, for example, and seemed like really obvious, like, competitive players, and it turns out that they really weren't that big of a deal. So the companions were a bigger deal than we expected them to be at first, but those cards were, like, much less so. So this set, I think, was fairly balanced overall, with the exception of, like, Lurrus being out of control. With the companion rules change in mind, though, I think it's actually a pretty well-balanced set overall, don't you think? Assuming that, like, this set was released with you have to pay 3 mana to put Lurrus in your hand from the companion zone. I can't think of, like, one card out of this set that's like, oh my gosh, this one's nuts.
Yeah, no, I mean, as printed originally, a little rough, but now it's just fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's talk about the new stuff. We're not here for the old stuff. We're here for the new stuff.
Yeah. All right.
So we got core set 2021. We got white cards. I'm going to start with Angelic Ascension. 1 and a white for an instant. It's an uncommon exile target creature, planeswalker. Its controller creates a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying.
Yeah, I know you're high on this one.
I am high on this one. I'm not modern high, even though there's, like, more removal in modern. But, like, I think this is definitely going to be a player in Pioneer. Like, Modern might be just a little too fast for this even to be an effective removal spell.
Yeah.
Even though killing a planeswalker is big, I just think this is going to be a little too slow for Modern, so I'm going to buy it for Pioneer.
Yeah. I have concerns and hesitations about the trade-off of a 4-4 Flying Angel. I think that's too much.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on this one in both formats.
All right.
All right, cool. Next one is Baneslayer, and I put Baneslayer on the list because Baneslayer is new to Pioneer. Obviously not new to Modern, so we can ignore it there.
It's not going
to
see play.
No.
No.
You don't think so?
We already have Lyra, and it's not seeing play.
Yeah. Now, Baneslayer and Lyra sees play in Modern as a duo in the sideboard of blue-white control decks. Does Lyra see... Lyra doesn't see play in the sideboard of blue-white control decks? Is that...
I mean, I'm checking. You know, I'll do the good old checking here.
It seems like it should. The removal is significantly weaker.
Well, I don't think we're in the world where the Angel pair is still seen playing control sideboards. In the past 3 weeks, or past 2 weeks, no Lyra Dawnbringers have been played in Pioneer.
Okay.
So I'll stretch it out to the past like 6 weeks here. And see if that's the case as well. Whoops, I need to put that in the sideboard. So they are still seeing play in the sideboard.
You're looking at Modern, right?
Yeah, in Pioneer.
In Pioneer, okay.
Yeah. But I still think, I think Lyra Dawnbringer is just, like, is it better? I guess the answer is no. Because the protections could possibly be relevant, flying first strike, lifelink. So I mean, I guess you have to buy it because like they're gonna go from two Lyra to one Lyra, one Baneslayer.
Yeah.
So I guess you have to buy it, even though it seems real bad. Yeah. All right, buy it. I guess. All
right. I mean, there's not much to lose here. I think this is a free point at the very least.
Yeah. I mean, it feels free.
All right. Next one is also 3 points. Containment Priest.
Yeah, buy for both formats.
Oh, you like it for both formats? Okay, so talk me into Pioneer here because I would assume that it's good there too, but
I think Collected Company is a bigger player in Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And like you have the rally decks and stuff like that. So like if there are just white creature decks, this is just going to be good enough. And I assume there's a white creature deck in Pioneer. If there's not, I would be just blown away.
Yeah, there's mono white devotion.
All right, perfect. We did it. We found the white creature deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that deck's playing Grafdigger's Cage. Like, I don't think there's too much coming out of the sideboard spells wise, or out of the graveyard spells wise. I'd rather just play a 2/2 for two.
There are still Uros happening in the format. You know, I mean, Sultai Delirium.
That still eats Uro. Because it's entering play from not cast from your hand.
Yep.
So it still eats Uro, so.
Yeah, I think that's probably enough to justify it, you know.
I mean, actually, technically, I don't think it eats Uro because it was... Is Escape casting it or is it an ability? Because if it's a cast, like, you can counter it.
You may cast this card from your graveyard.
Yeah, and it says it would enter the battlefield and wasn't cast.
Oh.
So this doesn't beat Uro.
No, it doesn't.
So I still think it's good enough to beat that it beats the other things. Because technically, Cage doesn't beat Uro either.
Yeah.
So it does because players can't cast.
Right, Cage does. Okay, so Containment Priest would stop Winota decks from putting... Yep. Shenanigans into play.
Wouldn't Cage do that too?
Cage would too.
Unless Winota exiles those things, in which case it's playing it from exile and not.
Yep. What else? Yeah, I don't know. I think that might. It seems like a low enough opportunity cost to include, and it's just a solid creature. If you're going to, I don't know.
Yeah, like in your generic white deck, you can play like a 2-2 for 2 if you're playing an aggressive deck and just have some main board hate if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Is the way I look at it, on top of like it being a reasonable sideboard card. So, I mean, I'm going to buy it for both formats. If you're convincing yourself to not buy it for Pioneer, that's fine.
Yeah, I think I am. I think I am. I'm going to just pick it for Modern.
All right, I'll take my 1 point loss and move on here.
All right, Face Fetters is up next. This one's new to Pioneer, old to Modern.
I mean, we're 100% buying this, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does a lot. Like, this is Planeswalker hate right here. Gains 4 life, does a hell of a lot for just 4 mana.
Yeah.
Okay, Idol of Endurance, this is a new printing. This is an artifact, 2 and a white. When it enters the battlefield, exile all other creature cards. So all creature cards with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard until Idol of Endurance leaves the battlefield. You pay 1 and a white and tap it. Until end of turn, you may cast a creature spell from among the exiled cards with Idol of Endurance without paying its mana cost.
I'm not buying this for either format.
Without paying its mana cost. It's really interesting, isn't it? It's kind of like... Oh, man. It's almost like a Lurrus.
I mean, except you have to pay 2 mana every turn to play 1 spell. So, like, you get to play 3 drops.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to pay 2 mana to use Lurrus every turn.
Without paying its mana cost.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. So, but, like, Lurrus, you cast a thing that's less than 2.
Yeah.
So, with this, where you're beating Lurrus, is that it's you get to play 3 drops for free.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't think this is enough, though.
And you can only do it once, because then it goes back in the graveyard. Okay, yeah, I'm not interested either. It's a cool card, though.
Yeah, I mean, so it's one of those things that if it stays in play for multiple turns, like a Lurrus, you can get like enough Kitchen Finks value or Knight of Autumn or whatever, you know, whatever 3 drops you have in your deck, you can get that much value. But I think that it's just like, it's 5 mana, so like you can play it on 5 and exile your yard, but like you don't get other spells, so like it kind of bottlenecks you into just being a creature combo deck.
Yep, fair enough.
So I'm not in on it, but...
Okay, moving on. Mangara the Diplomat, 3 and a white for a mythic, legendary creature, human cleric. It is a 2/4 lifelink. Whenever an opponent attacks with creatures, if 2 or more of those creatures are attacking you and or planeswalkers you control, draw a card. Whenever an opponent casts their second spell each turn, draw a card.
I think this is Pioneer playable. Like, in your control decks? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a hell of a blocker.
Yeah.
Recoups some of the life loss in the early turns.
And it draws you cards. Like, if your opponent like has tokens, they can't really profitably attack. And if they try and double spell you, which is something that control struggles with, if like your opponent is doing 2 things and you're only doing 1,
yeah,
like it, you gain some benefit off of that too. So
yeah, it's I'm thinking like against like the red aggressive decks, like in order for them to take this thing out, they are gonna have to double spell you in most cases. So you're gonna at the very least get your card out of it. So
yeah.
I don't think Modern playable for this one, but
Four
but
mana, too many mana.
Pioneer playable. So this is the guy that made Mero reconsider the white gets life draw, card draw mechanics. It seems reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good way to give white card draw. It's conditional, so it's not just super easy. But the conditions are pretty easy to make your opponent run into, because, like, attacking with 2 creatures, like, if you're a creature deck, like, unless you have a Siege Rhino, you're probably attacking with 2 things. Like, you're trying to do multiple spells in a turn. That's how most decks win, is getting to the point where they cast multiple spells that are powerful for the context of their deck. So,
yeah,
these things are reasonable.
And it feels like it falls under the tax you umbrella rather than, like, the just kind of static card draw umbrella that blue can have with its enchantments and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like you pay the price to do the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we both pick it for Pioneer. Next up is 9 lives, 1 white for an enchantment. It has hexproof. If a source would deal damage to you, prevent that damage and put an incarnation counter on 9 lives. When there are 9 or more incarnation counters on 9 lives, exile it. When 9 lives leaves the battlefield, you lose the game.
I don't think this is good enough for either format, because it's like basically a thing where you have to have solemnity.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, like, you can still lose to random stuff.
Like what?
Like, I mean, you can, like, you can get milled if they can figure out a way to, like, lift it off of your board, it, like, to get through the hexproof. Like, that happens.
Yeah, or they can kill the, like, solemnity.
Yeah, they kill the solemnity, and then they can, like, slowly deal damage to you, like...
Yeah, I don't like the whole... I don't like it combos that have pieces that, when they're not paired with the other pieces, do absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or are a liability on their own, like this one is. Granted, this one can keep you alive for a while, but it's almost like you're casting a... what's that spell that the Storm decks used to play after Pyromancer's Ascension?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? The three mana one that they got from Modern Masters.
Oh, Pyromancer's Swath.
No. Oh, shit. It was like, when it came into play, they gained 10 life. And then when you played...
Aria Flame.
Aria Flame, yeah. It's like you're casting an Aria Flame against yourself, almost.
Okay.
Where it just, it kind of feels like, you know, like, all of a sudden, it's like, now your opponent's like, okay, now I'm just going to, like, target with all these, like, little chip shots to kill them as soon as I can, you know, before they set up the second piece of the combo. So, anyways, not that you would be dumb enough to fall into this situation where you're allowing them to do that, but, you know, it basically says you cannot be casting 9 lives early to set up for the second piece because you're allowing your opponent the window of opportunity to do that while you're looking for the second piece. You have to be going one after the other.
Correct.
Okay. Anyways, last one for white is Rune Halo, and Rune Halo is new to Pioneer.
This is an easy point.
Yeah, like it?
Yeah, I mean, it plays in that mono white devotion deck.
Yeah, for 100%.
Sure. And it's just like a good tool to, like, prevent, like, certain combo cards from killing you. I don't think there's a creep, like a damage or target based combo, but, like, it's good against, like, if there's a Boggles deck or an Auras deck, you can just, like, name the thing they've made big or whatever.
Yeah, I think plays into the mono white devotion deck is enough said right there.
Yeah.
You could do, like, expansion explosion. You know, whatever, like, the win conditions are of, like, the combo decks in the format. I mean, Thassa's Oracle is kind of, like, the win condition of the Lotus Breach decks, unfortunately. But, you know, if you've got solutions to that sort of thing, you know, you got ways around it. We talked about previously how Zombie Token is not a possible choice, unfortunately. However, that would be probably the best case scenario. But in a lot of these cases, a lot of the most... played decks in the format, Dimir Inverter and Lotus Breach, they win, you know, by Thassa's Oracling or, you know, the mono white devotion decks. They gain infinite life. So the Rune Halo doesn't do you a whole lot of good in that case.
Sure.
But you could stop the Walking Ballista infinite damage and at least buy some time. So,
yeah.
Anyways, it's good. Yeah.
I would be stunned if we lost a point here.
Yep. All right. Into blue, Baron, Tolarian Archmage. Baron is a rare 1BB for a 2/2 human wizard, legendary creature. When it enters the battlefield, return up to one other target creature or planeswalker to its owner's hand. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent was put into your hand from the battlefield this turn, draw a card.
Yeah, this card is insane.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like, it targets both player stuff, so, like, you can bounce your own planeswalkers to reset them if they're, like, Narset or Baby Teferi.
Mm-hmm.
You can remove your opponent's problematic planeswalkers before they ultimate. You can use it as a mana war. You can use it to, like, get another ETB effect. And if you bounce one of your things, you get free card advantage. So, like, you give up a little tempo for a little card advantage. So, like, it seems extremely good.
Yeah. The cool thing is, it can target a creature or planeswalker. It doesn't target a permanent with its bounce, which is limiting, right? But it triggers on permanent. So if you, and this is just as the first thing that came to mind, it's probably not a likely scenario, but you could use it to Manowar an opposing creature, like use it defensively, and then have it in a deck that plays like Kairu lands like Amulet Titan does. And your lands bouncing themselves are going to trigger its draw clause. So something along those lines. And I'm trying to think of like other ways where like you're just going to incidentally get that card advantage out of it, where you can use him like, you know, defensively, or like reset ETB effects and then in other ways like activate that draw and just get extra draws out of them.
Teferi is a good answer to that question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like you bounce your own thing with Teferi and get a free card plus Teferi's card.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's a good place to look. Like
I like this guy in humans as like a flashable dude, but seemingly well, with Aether Vial is what I'm thinking.
Okay, sure, yeah.
But seemingly Reflector Mage is just better. Though this one, like using it, like Reflector Mage can target your opponent's creatures only. It cannot target your own. But there are many times where I look at Reflector Mage and I wish that I could bounce my own dudes to protect them or to save them from Wrath of God or save them from removal spells. This guy can do that way better because then, again, he also draws you a card if he lives to your end step. So, I don't know. There's some upside to him there. I don't know that he makes the cut in those decks, though.
I mean, I think he's Pioneer playable. I don't think he's Modern playable.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really like this card, but after all that, I'm not going to pick him for either format, to be honest with you. And I don't... I want to. I just don't... I don't think he has a home in either one.
Sure.
Okay. Discontinuity is...
It's 3 blue for instant. As long as it's your turn, it costs 2 blue less to cast and the turn.
Yeah. So 6 mana.
It's counter. Time stop. It's time stop.
Yeah.
But better because it only costs 1 and a blue your turn.
So can you explain some scenarios where you would want to end your own turn for 2 mana?
Yeah. I mean, anytime you have something that would make you lose the game on the stack, that seems pretty good.
Demonic Pact, for example.
Yep. Demonic Pact is a good one. Anytime you have like a sneak attack type effect where you put something into play and then sacrifice it at the beginning of your next end step, you can discontinuity with that trigger on the stack to keep the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like this is, I don't think this is Modern playable because I don't think like, you would want to use Gideon of the Trials and then, like, something else, maybe like Sundial, probably, because it's cheaper to do. And you're not really going to live to 6 mana. You can also randomly do this in Control Mirrors. You can, when they try and do an instant speed thing on the end of your turn, you can just end the turn. So it's, like, 1 and a blue counter-target spell.
Yeah, I do like that.
So I think this is certainly Pioneer playable, but I don't think it's playable anywhere else.
Yeah, so that would be the thing to compare. Like, obviously, the upside is you can use it as a counterspell for 6 mana, right? But that's not why you're playing this card. That's just, like, incentive. The main function of this is 2 mana, end the turn for some combo purpose with something like Demonic Pact. And yeah. You mentioned Sundial of the Infinite. I think that's probably a much more reliable, repeatable, and probably affordable version of this for that same kind of purpose. Or Gideon of the Trials obviously does the same type of thing with the Can't Lose the Game emblem if you're looking for something that pairs with like Demonic Pact. So I think those are both better than Discontinuity, but 2 mana is very cheap and it's more surprising. Like you have to set up for Sundial because it's an artifact that comes into play and has to like be on the battlefield through your opponent's turn in order for you to use it at your upkeep.
And Sundial's not Pioneer legal. That's kind of why I'm talking about it in this way.
I can't think of any things in Pioneer where I'd want this. Like, I don't think Demonic Pact is enough incentive for this card.
The payoff isn't good. I don't think there's any, like, sneak attack style effects. I mean, it can also, like... So, like, the key is, like, if you can find something to shape your deck around to make this good. Because it also, like, randomly helps you beat control opponents when they interact on your turn.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think it's viable, but I think it's on the very edge.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to buy it, but, like, I'm not going to, like, forget about it. I'm going to, this might be something I try on my sideboard as, like, a way to make my opponent skip combat, or, like, they cast a spell and then I like can end their turn and skip their combat step, something like that. Like, this is definitely something I keep on my radar, but not necessarily something I'm like all in trying to play four of.
Okay. All right. I don't think I'm gonna buy this one either. But Frantic Inventory, I think I am. Frantic Inventory is next.
Pioneer only, yeah. I got it here. Frantic Inventory is one and a blue for an instant. Draw a card, then draw cards equal to the number of cards named Frantic Inventory in your graveyard.
Yeah, is this not just accumulated knowledge? Is it not
the same? No, it's a worse version because accumulated knowledge counts both graveyards.
Oh, all graveyards.
Yeah, accumulated knowledge busto. If both people are playing accumulated knowledge.
Okay.
Because then it goes like, in those mirrors, it's like you don't want to be the person who casts the first accumulated knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you start to snowball because then the next person gets two and then you get three and then they get four and then like it goes back and forth.
Okay.
But yeah, this card is, I think it's totally Pioneer playable. Like I think any of your, like, if your two mana cantrip doesn't do a flexible thing, it's like either you play this or the the other See the Truth, the other two mana cantrip, and like you pick which one you want to play. But I think this is totally playable, like 100%. Like you're just gonna have turns where you like the first one is like think twice, but then the second, then it's like markedly better as the game goes on.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are trying to ask, like I've seen a lot of people talk about Modern, like, oh man, it's like clearly good enough for Modern. And so like this is where I have the debate. I know I'm buying it for Pioneer.
Yeah.
So like the question is, like, Legacy decks are playing accumulated knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So like if accumulated knowledge is good enough for Legacy, is accumulated knowledge not good enough for Modern?
I am into this one for Modern for sure.
So here's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I play this card, it replaces Opt.
Yeah. Well, yes, but it does. It's not the same deck, though. I'm not necessarily into this one for Snapcaster Mage decks.
Okay, what are you into it for?
Not Snapcaster Mage decks.
I mean, why not?
I think it's definitely worse in decks. I think I can see the advantages of having Opt in a deck that wants to go Snapcaster and Opt, or wants to be, leveraging like the main deck graveyard hate stuff, like the main deck relics or the main deck rest in peace in those types of metas.
Sure.
That doesn't even, you know, I don't know. It's tricky because 4 mana for draw card is really bad, right? And I don't want to be exiling this with Snapcaster Mage, because it doesn't count for subsequent versions.
Yeah, you're never snapping the first one. You're always snapping the second or the third one. Like you don't snap this until you get two of them.
Yeah. I think that if that's the case, though, then Opt is typically better. I don't know. Maybe that's not a factor, but I feel like there are certain decks that would just exclusively be interested in Frantic Inventory that would never consider Opt and are not Snapcaster Mage decks. And they're just not control decks. They're just decks that want the sheer card advantage for other purposes. And I don't know
like
what they are.
Like a Storm deck?
Perhaps. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm 100% in on this thing because I'm a huge Cumulative Knowledge fan. But this does actually slot quite nicely into Storm. Because, like, if you have a discounter in play, it's one mana, and then, like, Gifts Ungiven lets you put another one in your graveyard to juice them up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, theoretically, that's a thing you can do, but, I mean, I'm 100% buying it for Modern. Because I'm a huge Cumulative Knowledge fan. But, like, it's hard for me to see where exactly it fits in Modern. Like, people will have to, like, figure out where they're kind of making shaves on the edges to get this thing in.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But the payoff is there. Like, there was a time in Modern where we were playing Think Twice in Modern decks. And I think when you compare this to Think Twice, it's like, obviously the first time you cast it, it's exactly the same. 2 mana, draw a card, and instant speed. And that's mm-hmm. fine. Like, you're never too disappointed if you're passing the turn and you're not using counterspell on your opponent's turn to just, like, cycle a card, right?
Yeah.
But the second time you cast it, it's already such a good card. That's so much value. 2 mana for draw 2 cards is an incredible play. Yeah. So Then we're talking the third time, and it's the best card you'll ever cast in the game of Magic, right?
That's, nope, Ancestral Recall.
in Modern.
Okay, sure. I'll buy that.
And then the fourth time, then it's the best card you'll cast in the game of Magic.
And, yeah, and then that, like, once you get to that, even at the second time, realistically, like, if I have played two of them,
uh-huh,
and I draw a Snapcaster Mage, I would snapcast the second one. Like, I would snapcast, flash it back, and draw two cards for four mana.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a fair
way. Yep, you're right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'll draw two cards for four mana and get a 2/1, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's where I'm at. I mean, it's playable.
Sorry, you don't want it for Modern, though.
No, I mean on both. I'm okay, a huge all right.
All
right. I just don't know where it's going to fit.
I mean, yeah, I think it does just belong in blue-white control decks too, but I'm not sure where I stand on, like, does it replace Opt entirely, or are there some decks that just opt for Opt, you know, sure. And are like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how the Snapcaster Mage balance goes with this card, that's all. I think there's some tweaking to be done. Okay. Ghostly Pilferer is next. Ghostly Pilferer is a spirit. I'm excited about that. The core sets always promise good spirits. Okay. This one is one in a blue for a 2/1. It's a rogue even. When it becomes untapped, you may pay 2 if you do draw a card, much like Key to the City does. And guess what? It also has discard a card. It can't be blocked this turn, much like Key to the City. And it says whenever an opponent casts a spell from anywhere other than their hand, draw a card. I mean, this is sweet. So, Spirits is a deck that's interested in flying creatures, which this does not have. However, it has the opportunity to pitch excess lands, which Spirits often finds itself with, to become impossible to block. So, if your opponent finds themselves with some sort of flying creatures, which sometimes it's just like a Birds of Paradise that gets in the way of your lethal damage in Spirits, this guy might be what it takes to get through. But even better, like I just mentioned, Spirits is a deck that oftentimes ends up with excess lands, and that's often how it loses, because you're playing like a shit ton of mana dorks. Paying 2 mana to draw a card at your untap step after you get through with this guy, you connect with this guy, because you can reasonably tap him every turn if he's unblockable, right? Yeah. Like, that's huge. That's really good. And then getting extra cards from your opponent casting spells from their graveyard, like Modern players often tend to do. This guy's really strong. I think this is a really good card for Spirits as like maybe a 1 or 2 of in that deck, if not the sideboard.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was at. I don't think this sees much play in Pioneer Spirits, because Spirits just like fell off the map.
Currently it did, yeah, but I could see it coming back.
I don't think this is what's going to bring it back, though. I think you need something more to bring back Spirits.
Well, I'm going to pick it for both.
I'm going to pick it for Modern.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Lofty Denial. This one clearly is just a Pioneer consideration because there isn't Mana Leak in Pioneer. But Lofty Denial is 1 in a blue for counter target spell unless its controller pays 1. If you control a creature with flying, counter that spell unless its controller pays 4 instead. Better Mana Leak for a deck like Spirits. Mm.
Yeah,
that's what you think, huh?
That's what I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's the Modern version of this? There's 1 in a blue. If you control more creatures than your opponent, you counter a spell.
Unified Will.
It kind of reminds me of that.
I just don't think this is good enough.
I don't think so either. Let's move on.
Okay. Censor was played a bunch because it cycled. This doesn't cycle. And you have to have a creature to make it good, but like most of the time, its sensor is just good enough. So,
okay, I imagine you have the same thoughts on the next one as I do. But I figure we have to address this one.
No clue.
Miscast is next.
This card's terrible. We don't even have to talk about it.
1 blue, counter target instant or sorcery spell unless this controller pays 3.
Yeah,
say it with
terrible.
Me now, Daryl. 1, 2, 3. Spell Plus Pierce. Okay, same thing.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Reign of Revelation.
I don't remember what that card does.
Yeah, this one's weird.
A 4-mana instant, draw 3 cards, then discard a card. Ah, I see where you're going, because cards in your graveyard can be useful. This is too slow for Modern.
Yeah, but is it too slow for Pioneer? This is a good card.
Oh, no, this is totally a fine card. Like,
And she's at a Jimi Hendrix concert. She's at Woodstock right now, and Jimmy just lit his guitar on fire. Do you see that art?
Yeah, I do.
She's, you realize she's wearing tie-dye?
So I don't think this is good enough. Just because, like, if I'm after draw twos, because this is functionally a draw two, right?
I don't know about that.
It functionally is a draw two. Because there are often times that you'll have this card in your hand, you won't want to cast it, because you don't want to discard any of the cards in your hand.
Okay.
So, like, this, but this is a plus one, because you draw three, you discard a card, so it's two for one, so it's a plus one. It's just like Glimmer of Genius. But I would just rather have Chemisters in sight, to be able to do it twice. And end up a whole, like, you're up another card over the course of the game. So, like, I would rather play Chemisters Inside over this in Pioneer.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I wish that there was, like, a budget version of this that was as effective, but I just don't think that draw two cards, discard one card is for three mana is good enough. But, like, I want this to be, like, on the Phoenix affordability scale so that, like, Blue-Red Phoenix can get involved, but four mana is too much for that deck. So I'm going to pass on it too. But I do think three is a big, that's a lot, you know, like, Thirst for Knowledge is a hell of a card.
Yeah.
Okay. See the Truth. We're going to get through blue and we'll be done for today. See the Truth is one in a blue. Look at the top three cards of your library. Put one of those cards in your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. If the spell was cast from anywhere other than your hand, put each of those cards in your hand instead. This card pairs well with Snapcaster, my friend.
Oh, it's very good in Modern. I don't know if it's good in Pioneer, though. Like, that's where I'm kind of questioning. No, it's like, terrible in Pioneer. How am I casting this from my graveyard?
What, Torrential Gearhulk?
No, it's not an instant. You can't Gearhulk it.
Oh, so then you're not. So,
yeah,
talk about Modern.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is good enough for Storm. Between, like, Storm, like, Passing Flame.
Yeah.
The Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah.
And, oh my god, my brain just exploded. You ready for this?
What?
Dreadhorde Arcanist?
Yeah.
Think?
Yeah, Dreadhorde Arcanist needs to grow a little bit, but it can happen.
I'm willing to invest a mutagenic growth into my Dreadhorde Arcanist if I get to cast draw three cards.
Yeah, I think I think that this one is a shoo-in for Storm, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it like solves your problem. Sometimes you just don't have enough cards in Storm. Like, you have a bunch of rituals.
Yeah.
But you have no dig. And then, like, this is just, like, draw three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, gifts for this, Manamorphose, Ritual Passed in Flames. And then if they give you this, you're fine with that. And if they don't, like, you leave it in your graveyard, you cast Passed in Flames, you draw three cards. Oftentimes it's going to be discounted to one mana. Like, yeah, this card's very good.
Yep. All right. We both picked it for Modern. Yes? Yep. All right. Yep. Shacklegeist. I don't know where all these two mana spirits are going to fit into the deck, but somehow it's going to have to happen.
This card's very good.
Yeah, this guy is insane. This is Glare of Subdual on a spirit. It's one in a blue for a 2/2 flyer. Already, like, on rate to be a really efficient attacking creature. It can only block creatures with flying, though, so there's got to be a drawback, right? But it has tap two untapped spirits you control, which this could be one of them. Tap target creature you don't control.
Yeah, this is just very good.
Okay, for a deck that wants to pack all creatures and collected companies, having access to a quote-unquote creature removal on a stick is really important. I think that spirits, especially like Modern spirits, who like has to make concessions for like three path to exile sometimes, it really is hurting to include anything that isn't collected company or Aether Violable. Can maybe shave on some removal spells to include Shacklegeist instead, which is on tribe and can do similar things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying this for both formats. It's just very good.
Yeah, I like this guy. And it's aggressive. That's a 3/3 right there, because you've got a Lord at some point.
Yeah.
All right. Next is my favorite card in the set.
Stormwing Entity?
Yeah, I love this guy. The art is lame, but...
It looks like a Nivea almost from League of Legends. Like the body. The wings look kind of crappy. three blue. The spell costs two and a blue, less to cast if you cast an instant sorcery this turn. Flying Prowess, when it enters the battlefield, scry two, and it is a 3/3 elemental.
Uh-huh. I like it.
So Opt, and this is a 2-mana 3/3 flyer. Yeah. Is that good enough for Modern?
I mean, don't you want a Serum Visions if you're going to do it on your main phase, though?
Doesn't matter.
Don't or bolt something? I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, cast a spell. This is a 3/3 flyer.
It's
gross.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I just think it's funny. Opt is the one that everyone goes to because it's in such recent memory from being standard for so long.
It's Pioneer legal. Which is why I brought it up. Like, because we're talking about this card for both formats.
This is really good.
Yeah, I think you just have to buy this in both formats because if there's just a blue-red spells deck that's going to exist, this can be a part of it. And, like, this is a good card in your tempo deck. Like, you just, like, Lava Spike them or Serum Visions them or, you know, whatever, Pillar Flame, whatever generic one-mana removal spell you have. And you play your 3/3 flyer that also, like, makes sure your draw is not bad. Like,
Let me just put it this way. We underestimate prowess every frickin' time. And I'm not going to do it this time.
We also underestimate cost discounting.
I mean, the grand we, like, everybody does. Yeah. Like, name a prowess creature that hasn't gotten played. And I know I'm being facetious because there are plenty of them. But, like,
reasonably statted prowess creatures.
There are a hell of a lot of prowess creatures that are seeing a ton of play. And, like, most recently, like, the Sprite Dragon didn't look all that powerful, but made a big splash in Modern. Yeah, granted, Lurrus had a lot to do with that, but that creature seems to, like, stack up pretty similarly to this one. And this one's a freaking 3/3 that scries 2. You know, it doesn't have haste, but that's a big-ass blocker.
I think you just have to buy this.
I feel like this one might be a difference maker for blue-red tempo decks in Pioneer, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it gives you this and Sprite Dragon, and there's like another thing probably.
Yeah. Maybe Phoenix doesn't belong at all. Maybe it's just this and Sprite Dragon.
I mean, I think you need a recursive threat. Like, Thing in the Ice, Sprite Dragon, and this, you think that's enough?
Yeah, maybe in like Crackling Drake or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of creatures.
Yeah,
it's kind of tricky. I don't know why we're talking about this next card, but we're going to talk about it. Sublime Epiphany. Four blue, instant, choose one or more. Counter target spell, counter target activated ability or triggered ability. Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Create a token that's a copy of target creature you control. Target player draws a card. So basically just every blue thing stapled onto a 6-mana counter spell.
Yeah.
So like what's the best case scenario? You get to do literally all 5 of these?
Yeah, that's the best case scenario.
Yes. I mean, when are you ever doing that?
Well, not very often, that's for sure. But we had to talk about this one, didn't we?
No, we didn't really have to. it doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell to be played in Modern.
We had to mention the obligatory, this is the ultimate Torrential Gearhulk target in Pioneer.
Sure.
And then we can
nobody's
move on.
And then we can move nobody's on. Playing this in their deck.
All right, Teferi Time Master. This is the last one for today. Teferi Master of Time. This is 2 blue-blue for a 3 loyalty planeswalker. You may activate its loyalty abilities anytime you can cast an instant. +1 loot, draw and discard. -3, target creature you don't control phases out. And -10, take 2 extra turns after this one. Looting is no joke. Phasing a creature does not trigger its ETB effect. It does not drop enchantments off of it. It just ceases to exist for a moment.
Yeah.
You can loot the turn it comes into play. You can phase an attacker out, and your Teferi will remain around.
Yep.
This is no Jace the Mind Sculptor.
No.
However, it can activate... draw. It can draw on your opponent's turn, which is very nice if you want to cast a miracle.
That's true.
If you can set that up.
You can. I'm struggling with this one. I just don't think it's good enough.
I don't think there's anything that you can do to abuse the phasing. I think phasing is strictly defensive because you can't use it get an advantage on your own creatures, right?
Well, it says you don't control, so no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go. Well,
the phasing is strictly defensive.
That makes it way worse.
Yes. That's why I'm struggling with it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm struggling with it. It's not like you could phase out your own creature and then cast Wrath of God.
Yeah, I was even thinking, like, purely, like, you can't use it to, like, trigger ETB effects, obviously, because they don't come back into play, but, like, now I know you can't do it to, like, protect your creatures from removal. Like, that would be... I don't think that would be too powerful. Maybe it would. I don't know.
That might be a little too good. That might be a little too... Because you could just do it whenever. Like, you can...
Yeah.
So, like, because here's the weird sub-game you'd get into if that was a thing. So, like, you have Teferi, right?
Yeah.
And you pass, and then, like, it lives. You don't have to phase anything. And then you have you play Glorybringer and attack with it.
Yeah.
So, like, now you're in the situation where, like, you haven't activated your Teferi, but, like, you're just never going to activate your Teferi again because you're always using it to protect your Glorybringer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a feels-bad moment for, like, the player with Teferi. It's like, I have this really cool Planeswalker, but it's literally just here to, like, make my opponent either attack it, cast Burn on it, or, like, kill it. Because if they try and kill my Glorybringer, I'm going to blink it.
Like, yeah.
That seems like a feels-bad moment.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good
point. So, like, can't target your own things with it.
Okay, that would be too powerful.
And well, it also just creates a bad play pattern that they don't want to have happen. That being said, like, looting twice a turn pushes you through your deck so fast. And then, like, it's going to take you a long time. It's going to take you four whole turn cycles to ultimate this. So, like, realistically, but I don't think its ultimate has a relevant piece of text on it. Because by the time this has lived four full turn cycles for you to ultimate it without having to phase a card, you should have already won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it literally has, like, two lines of text on it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it can do so much on an empty board. Like, if your deck has dealt with the situation well enough, like, this can just provide the perfect, the perfect fixing to just exacerbate the problem for your opponent. But it's not going to solve problems for you necessarily. Like, the phasing is just going to basically keep you alive. It's going to keep you on life support, basically, if you're just kind of fending off the attacker that's, you know, threatening your demise.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to buy this for either format.
Yeah. I think I have to buy it for Pioneer.
It's like, I say that out loud. It's like, I feel like I have to buy this for... I feel obligated. Like, I just look at it and go, people are just going to play it. So, like, I have to buy... I think you're right. I have to buy it for Pioneer because people will just play it.
Yeah, looting is strong enough.
I don't think it's good enough for Modern at all.
Okay. All right, well, we'll continue next week with the remainder of the colors. I don't know if we'll be able to finish up next week. We might be able to. Black, red, and green are pretty light, and there's really not a whole lot of gold. And yeah, I think we can finish up next week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we had a good one this time. I'm excited about these blue cards though. There's a lot of good draw spells in Core 21. So
yeah, there's gonna be a lot of... it's gonna be interesting to see how people try and handle it in both Standard and Modern.
Yeah.
And Pioneer, with like which ones of these do they play?
Yeah. All right, man. We'll catch you next time.
Take it easy.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CardKnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CardKnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CardKnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Card Knock Life content.